As you begin to meditate upon God's Word, something begins to happen in your thinking. You cannot meditate upon the Word of God without it transforming your life.
Have you ever faced a situation in which you desperately needed to hear from God? Maybe today you need a word of encouragement or some guidance. Are you confident that if you seek answers from God, you'll find them? You've tuned to In Touch, and today Charles Stanley reveals the crucial element in our relationship with Christ that will sustain us regardless of our circumstances, and that's the practice of meditation. God is ready and willing to speak to each of us personally, but He won't fight for our attention. We need to take the time to be quiet and listen to what He has to say. That's when we encounter those moments that sustain us. Here's Charles Stanley to explain.
All of us have those moments in our life that challenge us, that challenge our peace, that challenge our comfort, that challenge our security, that challenge our plans and challenge our dreams. The important thing is, how do we respond to those challenges in life? Now, sometimes those challenges may be rather brief and non-threatening, but other times they are very intense, prolonged, and extremely threatening. So what we have to ask is, how do we remain strong, focused, faithful, and fruitful during those times in which we face those challenges? Well, that's what this message is all about. And the title of this message is The Moments That Sustain Us. And I want you to turn, if you will, to Psalm 145. The 145th Psalm is a beautiful psalm by David. And I want us to read just the first five verses of this passage. And here he is praising and giving glory and honor to God. And he says in the first verse of this 145th Psalm, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Now listen to this next verse. On the glorious splendor of thy majesty, and on thy wonderful works I will meditate. Look at that. On the glorious splendor of thy majesty, and on thy wonderful works I will meditate. And here David has given us the key, really, to being able to be sustained in every single circumstance of life, no matter what. So what was true in his life and what worked for him also works for you and myself. Because that's the way God intends for us to be sustained through difficult times. When we call it moments that sustain us, they may be brief moments, but it may be a long period of time. But something has to sustain us. And somebody says, well, isn't God the one who sustains us? Yes, he is. But what is the human activity? That is, all of us have a responsibility. The human activity that enables us to be sustained through difficult, trying times is meditation. Now, you look at the life of David, and usually we look at the Psalms and say what a glorious life he must have lived. But the truth is, he was a normal man, chosen by God to be king. And even when he was chosen and he was anointed as king, it was years he had to wait upon God until Saul died before he became the king. And so when you look at his life, it's a life of turmoil and trial and difficulty and hardship. And you think, well, why would God anoint him a king and then not let him be king for years and years and years? And why would he have to run and hide for these years and go over to the land of the Philistines, the very enemy of Israel? Why would God allow all these things? Well, because in the process of his turmoil, his trials and his tragedies and his triumphs, what was God doing? God taught David something out there as a shepherd that all of us so desperately need to learn. He taught him as a shepherd. And not only did he teach him as a shepherd, but he continued what he learned out there in the sheep field all through his life. It was the very thing that sustained him. David knew how to meditate upon God. And so what I would like to do in this message is simply and as clearly as I know how, I want to talk about several things about this whole idea of meditation. And I want to answer three questions about it. Because, in my opinion, I believe it is absolutely the most critical and the most essential and the most important human activity in the life of a believer, second to none. It doesn't make any difference if you're a young Christian, if you've been a Christian 20 years, or if you've been a Christian for 70 years. It is still daily the most important human activity in the life of any believer is spending time with God in meditation. Now, with that in mind, let's look at this 145th Psalm for a moment. One more time, and notice what he says in this passage in the last verse. He says, on the glorious splendor, look, on the glorious splendor of thy majesty, and on thy wonderful works, he says, I will meditate. Now, here's the important thing I want you to notice here. Usually, when we're going through some challenge, some difficulty in life, and we're talking to the Lord, what becomes major in our thinking? What rises to the surface? What becomes major in our thinking? What is it? It's whatever's challenging us, the problem, the heartache, the burden, whatever it may be. Meditation is to be God-centered. Listen, if you'll notice all through, when he talks about God's precepts, God's works, God's ways, God's wonders, God's word, it is God who is the theme and the heart and the core and the subject of David's meditation. And so it is to be with ours. But the mistake we make oftentimes, a person will get down to pray and they say, well, that's my meditation. But I'm going to come to that in just a moment. But you see, the focus of our attention is to be upon God. And all through the Psalms, when David is talking about how depressed he was at times and how afraid he was, I mean, every single emotion that any of us and all of us have ever had, you'll find it in the Psalms as David just pours out his heart of his fears and his anxieties and his frustrations and the things that he's worried about. And the times that he was having to run from Saul and hiding out and crying out to God, why doesn't he do something? Let's stop this. Bring this to an end. What is he doing? It's always, no matter where he starts, he is God-centered. It is the greatness of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the majesty of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the greatness of God, always a part of that. So that in our meditation, remember this, it isn't that we focus on what the problem is, we're focusing upon God. And when we do, something begins to happen to the very thing that challenges us here. And probably one of the best verses to describe how he meditated, go back to the 63rd Psalm for a moment. And you've heard me mention this numbers of times because this is one of those verses that I want to keep saying, keep bringing to your mind until it catches on. And that is, put a circle around it, underline it, color it, do something. But listen to what David said. He said in the sixth verse of the 63rd Psalm, he says, when I remember thee, talking to God now, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. I meditate on you. I focus my attention, my mind, my spirit on you. I meditate on you in the night watches, for you've been my help. In the shadow of thy wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to thee. Thy right hand upholds me. What is the theme? What is the core? What is the subject of that? It is God. I'm meditating upon thee. I cling to thee. My soul longs for thee. He says, I thirst for God. Now, let me ask you a question. What is it that sustains you? When you face something that's very difficult in your life, just give up and quit? More than likely you don't, because you say, I can't quit, I just have to keep going. What is it that sustains you? God allows these difficulties and hardships in our life. He doesn't send them all, but he allows them for different purposes. But in the process of doing so, God always seeks to take advantage of growing us up and making us godly. And if you and I respond in the right way, then God will sustain us in the most awesome way. And not only will he sustain us, but he will restore the joy and give us a strength and a sense of comfort in those things that will not come any other way. David learned how to sustain himself. Now, ultimately, God is the sustainer, but the human activity is exactly what we're talking about. And this could bring him to the end of his life and where he's praising and rejoicing over God and thanking him and talking about all the blessings that God had sent into his life. Now, if you wrote down, if you began today writing a diary, and you began to write down the things that God said to you in your difficult times, what would you be writing? Would you have anything to hand down to your children or your grandchildren? Would you have some verses of Scripture that God had placed upon your heart so deeply? Would you be able to express? You say, well, I'm not very good at writing. Forget that. Listen, when you're writing down what you feel, nobody can match what you're doing. Because what you're doing, you're writing down what you're feeling, what God is saying to you. You're expressing your innermost being. And you see, meditation is focusing my mind, my attention, my spirit upon God. What is he up to in your life in those times? So I want to talk about, first of all, how do we do this? How do we go about meditating upon God? Now, let me say, first of all, you may want to jot down several of these things because I'm telling you, it is the most important human activity in any believer's life. First of all, it is the reading of the Word of God. Now, people say, well, I read the Word of God, but I don't know that I necessarily meditate. Well, let's just wait a moment now. When we talk about reading the Word of God, you say, well, where would I start reading? Well, you can start reading most any place you want to begin, or you may feel led to read some particular passage or some particular chapter. Or you may open the Bible and just say, God, I want you to show me. You know what I need. You know where I am at this point in my life. I need you to speak to my heart. I need you to work in my life. And it may be that God will lead you to a particular passage, and you'll read it, and you'll think, Lord, it's got my name written all over it. So whatever the passage is, it's up to you and whatever God leads you to do. But here's what I want you to remember. We're not talking about having a Bible study. We're not talking about getting out other books to help you understand it. We're not talking about going into an in-depth study of a passage of Scripture. Meditation upon the Word of God is you're reading that Scripture. And as you begin to read and focus your attention, what you're looking for is you're looking for God. You're looking for His ways. You're looking for whatever He wants to say. And so as you begin to read and you begin to focus upon the Word of God, you are reading intent, listen, focused and intent and concentrating on what you're reading. So it is a personal relationship that you're developing with Him. So you're reading the Word of God. The second thing is not only reading the Scripture, but praying over it. Now, what do I mean by praying over it? Simply this. When you begin to focus on a passage of Scripture, and you sort of pray it back to Him, and you read it, and you're praying over that passage, and you're talking to Him about it, what's happening is this. What your eyes see, your brain registers. And into your mind, these words, these thoughts, these verses of Scripture become literally become a part of you. Everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever felt, everything you've ever experienced, it's up there registered. And what you're registering in your mind the Word of God. And you're talking to Him about what He says. And so praying over it is making, what's happening is, it's like you're absorbing something. I challenge you to try it. You say, well, now I've read the Bible and prayed. No, I'm talking about praying over a passage, and it may be just a verse. And if I came to this first Psalm, for example, and I said, and I came to a particular verse that I was praying over, it may be the part that says, His delight is in the law of the Lord. And I may begin to say, Lord, I want you to make your law, your word, the delight of my heart. And then I may think, well, there's some other verses about delighting myself. And I think, well, what about that 37th Psalm? And so I may turn over to the 37th Psalm. And it says in this fourth verse, delight yourself in the Lord. And I think, well, Lord, you want me to delight myself in you, to delight myself in your word. And if I'm going to delight myself in you, I've got to know your word. And so what happens is, as you begin to pray this back to God and you begin to talk to Him about it, something happens on the inside of you. So meditation involves reading the Word. Secondly, meditation involves praying over the Word. And thirdly, it involves applying the Word. So we've been doing a little bit of that. Now, Lord, you said, my delight is to be in you. Father, how can I make my delight in your Word? There's so many things I'm so busy about so much. There's so many things that are so involved in my life. What am I, Lord? In fact, the truth is, what am I delighted in? What delights me most, Lord? So then I begin to apply. Then I have to ask myself the question, Lord, am I really and truly delighted in you? Are there other things that are more delightful to me? And Lord, you said that I'm not to be a scoffer, and I'm not to seek ungodly counsel, and I'm not to run with the people who are living according to the way of the world. Lord, you said if I do these things that I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That means I'll always be nourished. And you said my leaf won't wither. That is, no matter what happens, I'll always have what I need here. And whatever I do will prosper. Lord, show me, how do I relate delighting myself in you and prospering? God, prospering in what? Does that mean just prospering in finances? Does it mean prospering in my relationship? Does it mean prospering in my understanding? Does it mean prospering in my business, my talents, my gifts? What does that mean? So what you've done is this. You've taken God's word, His message to you. As you began to read it and you began to pray over it, what happened? The Spirit of God, who is the indwelling teacher of every single believer. What does He do? He takes the words, the thoughts, the principles, the ideas off the page, gets them into your thinking, gets them into your spirit. That's why we said that meditation, listen, is focusing the mind and the spirit. Now I'm open to what God is saying. And God's talking about delighting myself in His law. And God's talking about how I walk and with whom and what I do. He's talking about how my life can prosper and how I can be a happy man and a man who has peace and contentment even in the spite of difficulty and hardship. And how is that? He says he'll prosper us. And the key is what? Meditating upon his word. Because in his word, there is direction. In his word, there is guidance. In his word, there is wisdom. So then I'll begin to make the right decision. Now, Lord, I'm beginning to see that if I apply your word and your way and your will to my life, you said you'll make my way prosperous. And so what happens is as you begin to meditate upon God's word, something begins to happen in your thinking. You cannot meditate upon the word of God without it transforming your life. And so what happens is you begin to look at that passage, you begin to examine, you begin to apply it. Now the fourth word I want you to jot down is submission, because this is where the struggle comes. All meditation isn't some delightful little appointment with God. When you hit a passage of Scripture and he starts talking about surrender, he starts talking about submission, he talks about giving up, about sacrifice, and God has led you to that passage and you're dealing with something in your life and he brings this to your mind. Then when you begin to pray it back to him, then you begin to apply it, it may be that all of a sudden you realize there is something between you and God, that you are not delighting yourself in him, but you're delighting yourself in something or some experience or some person or whatever it may be, and that God is not your delight. And therefore, you say, well, Lord, maybe that's the reason I'm not prospering, because my delight's been in my business. My delight's been in prosperity financially. And so what happens? Then I have to say, well, Lord, how do I deal with this? And what happens is that meditation brings me to the point of submission. Listen, when you and I practice meditation, biblical meditation, focusing our mind and our spirit upon God, who he is, his ways and his will, in order to obey him, God will sustain you through every single solitary circumstance of life, no matter what, because what you're doing is you're filling your mind with the Word of God, and now God has something to use in your thinking to give guidance and direction for your life. And the things that happen, which I'm going to talk about in just a few moments, the things that happen inside of you are awesome and extremely, extremely important in enabling you and securing you in those times when you would feel absolutely, totally insecure and shattered on the inside. David knew how to meditate. And what you and I are reading in these Psalms, I say, these are the expressions. Now, if you and I are writing down what God is doing in our lives, what will we have to give to our children? What will we have to give to our grandchildren? I've said it again and again, and I say it again. You ought to keep a little diary, or a big diary, whatever. But write down what God says to you. When God brings some passage to your heart, and you're meditating on it, and the Lord begins to speak to your heart, now listen. Somebody else can read the same passage the same day, or right beside. You know what? It means something entirely, totally different. We're not talking about getting into the Word of God with books and commentaries of Greek and Hebrew and finding out what did he say and exactly what did he mean. God, what are you saying to me today in my circumstance in this situation? God will never say in a passage of Scripture to do anything that contradicts the Word of God. Meditation isn't a Bible study. Meditation is I'm reading and listening and praying and waiting upon the Lord to speak to my heart about something I need today, or whatever it may be. Now, you may read the same passage day after day after day, and God won't let you get away from it. You know why? What I've found in my own life, if he won't let me get away from one, it's because I've not heard all he wants me to hear, and I've not submitted in every way he wants me to submit. And there's some passages that I'll hit, and I'll think, well, that's fantastic. The next morning I'm up, and I'm reading, and I'm thinking, well, I think today, it's like, no, God says, you go back where you read yesterday. And so somehow, there have been times when 2 weeks or more, I'm hanging into the same passage, not because I choose it, but because I can't get away from it. And without fail, I hadn't heard all that God wanted me to hear, and I had not done, had not surrendered, had not yielded something that God had in mind. That's why a quick reading of the Scripture won't do it. And so meditation is far more involved than that. Meditation is concentrating my mind on the person of God, who is in this passage, who is speaking to my heart, who's dealing with my life, and who wants to show me what is absolutely essential in order for me to walk in obedience to him. Now, all meditation, say again, all meditation is not because of some difficult and hardship. You can come to a passage, and I mean, you begin to read it, you just want to get up and walk around and shout, and praise the Lord, and glorify him, and sing some hymn or some song or some chorus, because your heart is overjoyed. What are you doing? Meditating upon God. And as he came to this 145th Psalm, he's talking about meditating on the glorious splendor of thy majesty, thy wonderful works. You think about a good place to start if you want to start glorifying God and majoring on something joyful. You think about this, that he saved you, that God in His goodness and love and mercy reached down and forgave you of your sins and saved you and made you a part of the family of God. And now that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're eternally secure in Him. You can talk to Him. He'll answer your prayer. He has provided everything you possibly need on the moment. And His given time, when you and I begin to think about His goodness and His love and His mercy, we have an enormous amount to meditate and praise Him for. So a lot of meditation is glorifying and praising and thanking God. And some of it will end up in weeping and struggle and fretting and anxiety and fear. God, if I do this, then what? And Lord, I know what you're saying, but God, suppose this. And so all meditation is not pleasant. But all meditation is profitable. Listen, it may not all be pleasant, but it is profitable. Some will be praising. All will be profitable if I respond in the right spirit. And David is a beautiful example of how this happens. Over and over and over again, he just pours out his heart to us. His difficulties, his trials, his failures. But what happens? He has given to us a treasure of meditation.
Difficulty and hardship are a reality of this life. But we are not left to endure them alone. Charles Stanley urged you to set aside regular time to be alone with the Lord each day. And as you make that the habit of your life, God will direct you and encourage your heart. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, mankind has been subjected to many of Satan's deceitful lies. In order to combat Satan's evil lures, we must be armed with God's truth. If you feel your faith needs to be challenged and strengthened, then you'll be interested in a free subscription to the In Touch magazine. Through the articles and features in this monthly publication, you'll find the encouragement and understanding to stand firm in your time of trial. To begin your free subscription, just ask for the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Stop at our website. You can find tapes, books, and devotionals, the In Touch magazine, and a replay of today's radio program on Real Audio. Our web address is intouch.org. Meditation is essential for a fruitful, fulfilling Christian life. But what's the secret to a successful quiet time with the Lord? Dr. Stanley explores the requirements and the benefits of biblical meditation tomorrow, so join us. Touching Lives with the Word of God. Charles Stanley's teaching is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.